Seconds later, I'm back through the window and standing an inch, maybe two, from Jackson. And for once, his eyes aren't dead. They're on fire. And they're focused directly on me. I stare back at him, not sure what to expect or what to do. There's a part of me that thinks he's going to back up and a part of me that really hopes he doesn't. A part of me that wonders what it would feel like to kiss him. And a part of me that thinks I should run for the hills because Jackson might not be an alien, but he's not like any boy I've ever met either. And I am more than honest enough to admit that, much as I may want him, there's no way I can actually handle him. In the end, he doesn't kiss me, but he doesn't back up either. And neither do I. So we stand there for I don't know how long, him looking down, me looking up, the air between us loaded, heavy, electric. I'm in it now, captivated by everything Jackson is and everything he isn't, despite my misgivings. I wait for him to make a move, but he doesn't. He just keeps looking at me with those midnight eyes of his, emotion he rarely shows seething right below the surface. It makes me ache for him. Makes me physically hurt as I remember the question he asked earlier, the one that started all this. Overwhelming. He starts to slide the blanket from my shoulders. He freezes, the blanket in his hands, hovering somewhere around the middle of my back.
What are you talking about?
You asked me what it was like to just let go and purge my emotions the way I did. It feels overwhelming sometimes, even if a little terrifying. But what you just did for me made me feel safe in a way I haven't in quite a while. So thank you. Seriously.
Grace.
I take one step closer until my breasts are just brushing against his chest. I don't know what I'm doing here. I've never made a move on a guy in my life, and Jackson isn't just any guy. I'm flying blind, but that doesn't matter now. Nothing does except touching him somehow. I want him to feel the strength of my arms around him, the softness of my body against his. And I want to feel the warm power of him against my own. Except he's not warm at all. That hoodie of his obviously no defense against the weather, despite what he said. Jackson, you're freezing! I pull the blanket from his hands and throw it around his shoulders before wrapping it all the way around him. Then I rub my hands up and down his blanket-covered arms, trying to chafe some warmth back into him.
I'm fine.
You're obviously not fine. I've never felt anyone as cold as you are right now.
I'm fine.
He takes several steps back. Everything inside me stops. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to invade your personal space.
Grace.
And in that moment, he looks different than all the other times. He isn't confident, isn't amused, isn't even stoically silent as he was when I was yelling at him in the art studio. No, right now he just looks vulnerable. There's a desire in his eyes, a craving that has nothing to do with wanting me and everything to do with needing me. Needing my comfort. Needing my touch. I can no more deny him that I can jump off this tower and fly under my own power. So I follow his retreat, taking the steps that bring my body back into contact with the hardness of his. Then I cup his face in my hands, stroke my thumbs over his ridiculous cheekbones, and my fingers over the jagged edges of his scar. I hear his breath catch in his chest, feel it against me. And though my heart is beating faster than triple time, I don't back away. I can't. I'm dazzled, mesmerized. All I can think about is him. All I can see is him. All I can smell and hear and taste is him. And nothing has ever felt so right. Can I ask you a question? I move even closer to him, unable to stop myself. For a second, I think he's going to take a step back, but he doesn't. Instead, he opens up the blanket and wraps it around me too, so that his arms are around my waist and we're both sheltered within it.
Of course.
Who did that Klimt sketch remind you of when you bought it?
You. I just didn't know it yet.
And just like that, I melt. This boy, this dark, damaged, devastating boy, touches a part of me I wasn't even sure existed anymore. A part of me that wants to believe, wants to hope, wants to love. I want to reach for him, want to grab on, want to hold on, but I can't. I'm frozen, terrified of wanting too much, needing too much, in a world where things can just disappear between one moment and the next.
Grace.
I can't look at him. Not now. Not yet. Have you ever... Have you ever wanted something so much that you were afraid to take it?
Yes.
Like it's right there, waiting for you to just reach out and grab it. But you're so terrified of what will happen when you lose it that you never make the reach?
Yes.
I tilt my head up until our eyes meet. What did you do? For long seconds, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything. He just stares back at me with a look in his eyes as scarred and broken as the rest of him.
I decided to take it anyway.
Then he leans down and presses his lips to mine. It's not a passionate kiss, and definitely not a wild kiss. It's just the brush of one mouth against another, as soft as a snowflake. But for me, at least, it's just as powerful. Maybe more. And then, suddenly, his hands are on my upper arms, holding me in place. His fingers squeezing tightly, pulling me against him as his mouth goes crazy on mine. It's a cacophony of sensations, a riot of pleasure, desperation, need, all wrapped into one, as he takes me, as he takes and takes and takes, and gives back even more. It's a good thing he's holding on to me because my head spins and my knees go weak at the first swipe of his tongue along mine. Just like one of those heroines from a novel. I've been kissed before, but no kiss has ever made me feel like this. I strain against him, try to slide my arms up around his neck. But his hands are vices on my biceps, holding me in place. Holding me still so that all I can do is take what he gives me. My head gets lighter, my knees get weaker, and I swear I feel the ground trembling beneath my feet. And still the kiss goes on. The trembling gets worse, and it hits me a second before my knees buckle. It's not just our kiss. The earth is actually shaking again. I wrench my mouth from his.
Earthquake!
Jackson doesn't listen at first, just follows my lips with his like he wants to keep on kissing me forever. And I almost let it go, almost melt back into him. I'm a California girl, after all. If it were a bad one, things would already be falling off the walls. But it must hit Jackson at the same time I'm about to forget about it, because not only does he let me go, but he's halfway across the room between one breath and the next. I watch as he clenches his fists by his sides, as he takes a long, slow, deep breath, and then another and another as the earth continues to shake.
It's okay. It's just a small quake, nowhere near as bad as the one this morning. It'll be over in a second.
You have to go.
What?
I couldn't have heard him right. He couldn't have been kissing me like he wanted to devour me a few seconds ago, and now be demanding that I leave in a voice as cold as the air outside.
It's fine!
It's not fine. You need to go!
His face and eyes are blank again.
Jackson, please!
His bedroom window shatters. Shards of glass hit me above my eyebrow and on my neck, my cheek, my shoulder.
Go!
This time there's no defying him. Not when he looks and sounds so out of control. He advances on me then, fingers flexing and eyes burning like black coals in a face livid with rage. I turn and run as fast as my weak knees will carry me, determined to get to the staircase, to freedom, before this strange, monstrous version of Jackson overtakes me. I don't make it. I wake up in my room with bandages on my neck and face and shoulder, and absolutely no memory of how I got here. Macy is sitting cross-legged on the end of my bed, my uncle is standing by the door, and a woman I assume is the school nurse is hovering over me. With her waist-length black hair, blood-red nails, and stern face, she looks nothing like any nurse I've ever seen, but she's got a stethoscope around her neck and a roll of bandages in her hand.
Seafin, here she is. I told you the sedative wouldn't knock her out for long.
She smiles at me, and though it is open and inviting, she still manages to look intimidating. I think it's the long beak-like nose, but it could also be the medicine she said she gave me. I'm awake, but I still feel really fuzzy, like nothing is quite as it appears.
How are you feeling, Grace?
I'm okay. Nothing hurts, and everything feels warm and floaty right now. She leans over to me.
Yeah? How many fingers am I holding up?
3.
Uh-huh. And what day is it?
Tuesday.
And where are you?
In Alaska.
Good enough. See, Finn, I told you she was gonna be okay. She lost some blood, but...
Jackson!
The warm, floaty feeling melts away as I struggle to sit up.
Is he okay? He was...
I stop when I realize I don't have a clue what to say next, because I don't have a clue what actually happened up in that tower. I remember Jackson kissing me, and probably will for the rest of my life. I remember the earthquake. I remember running, though I don't know why. And I remember blood. I know there was blood, but I can't figure out why.
Don't push so hard. It'll come if you don't try to force it.
It doesn't feel like it will come. It feels like everything's a blur. Like my synapses just aren't connecting the way they should. What kind of sedative did this nurse give me anyway?
Macy? Jackson's fine.
He saved you. He got you to the nurse, Maris, before you could bleed out.
Bleed out?
When the window shattered, flying glass nicked an artery in your neck. You lost a lot of blood.
My artery? My hand flies to my neck as terror sets in for the first time. That's how my mother died. An arterial bleed out before the ambulance could arrive.
You're fine. Thankfully, Jackson was there. He slowed the bleeding and got you to Marissa's office before...
Before I died. Uncle Finn turns white.
Don't think about that now, Grace. You're fine.
Because Jackson saved me. Again.
I want to see him.
Of course, once you're up and about.
No, I'd really like to see him now.
I start kicking at my covers, which feel like they weigh 1,000 pounds.
I need to make sure he's okay.
I don't know what I need, except to see Jackson. To see his face, to touch him, to know that he's really okay. And also because I'll go out of my mind if I don't find out how he feels about the kiss we shared. Soon.
Whoa, now.
Maris puts a firm hand on my shoulder and pushes me back down against the bed.
You can see Jackson tomorrow. For now, you need to stay here and rest.
I don't want to rest.
I know what you want, but that's not possible right now. You're weak.
The stern look is back, and it has multiplied times 10.
I don't think you realize how serious this injury is. You need to recuperate.
I know exactly how serious an arterial bleed is.
My mother's face floats behind my eyes for a few seconds before I manage to blink it away.
I'm not planning on snowboarding down the side of Denali. I just want to see my boy.
I break off because I was about to call Jackson my boyfriend and no, just no. One kiss does not a boyfriend make, even if it was the best kiss of my life. Maybe even the best kiss in the history of the world. I mean, until the glass started flying. I try to play it off by picking at my comforter, but Macy's wide eyes tell me I'm not doing a very good job of it. All of a sudden, Maris and Uncle Finn are studying me a lot more closely, too, though neither of them makes a comment about my slip-up. Instead, Maris simply pulls my comforter back over me.
Behave, or I'll give you another sedative. And this time, I'll make sure it knocks you out for several hours.
The threat is real. I can see it in her eyes. So I don't push to see Jackson anymore. Instead, I settle back against my pillows and do my best impression of a good little patient.
I'll behave. You don't need to give me a sedative.
We'll see. You need rest, and it's my job to make sure you get it. How that happens is completely up to you.
He's okay. I promise, Grace. He's just busy right now cleaning up the mess in the tower.
Oh, right. Arterial bleeds aren't exactly tidy. Is it bad? It's ridiculous, but I'm embarrassed that I bled all over Jackson's tower, that I caused all this fuss for so many people. Does he need help?
I've got it covered. Thankfully, the earthquake only caused minimal damage throughout the rest of the castle, so all my people are up in Jackson's room.
You're sure?
It's a question for Macy, not Uncle Finn. I don't know why I'm being so insistent, except there's this feeling deep inside me that something isn't quite right. That Jackson is in trouble somehow. It's probably just the medicine messing with my head, but I can't seem to shake it. I need to know for sure that he's all right.
I swear, Grace.
She reaches over from her spot at the end of the bed and squeezes my hand.
Everything is under control with Jackson. He's fine. His room will be fine soon enough, and no one else was hurt in the earthquake. You can relax.
It's hard to imagine relaxing when fear is still a tight ball in the pit of my stomach. But it's not like I have a choice with everyone hovering over me. Though it's the last thing I want to do right now, I relax back against my pillows. Maybe if I start being more compliant, Maris and Uncle Finn will leave me alone for a while.
Are you thirsty, Grace? Do you want some juice?
For the first time, I realize I am thirsty.
Yes, please. Or water. Anything would be good.
Let's start with a little cran apple juice. The sugar will be good for you, and then we'll go from there.
Why do I need sugar?
I accept the small bottle she hands me. I drink it down in one gulp and pretend I don't see the look she exchanges with Uncle Finn.
Can I have another?
Of course.
A second bottle appears in her hand, though I would swear she didn't even turn around. I'm too thirsty to care, though, so I take it.
Thank you.
I try to drink it more slowly, but end up chugging this one, too. When I'm finished, Uncle Finn takes the bottle from me. Then he strokes a hand over my hair in that way that always makes me think of my dad.
I'm sorry, Grace.
For what? I'm confused by the words and the pained look on his face.
First the altitude sickness, now an earthquake. I brought you to Alaska because I wanted you to feel safe. Wanted to help you find a new home. Instead, you've been miserable since you got here.
I'm not miserable. I mean, Alaska is about as different from San Diego as it can get. But that doesn't mean I hate it here. I thought I would, but I don't. I start out meaning to reassure him, but the more I say, the more I realize I mean every word. Alaska does feel alien, but if I didn't come here, I wouldn't have met Jackson. I wouldn't have had that incredible kiss. And I wouldn't be living with my cousin, working on a friendship that I'm pretty sure is going to last the rest of our lives. Besides, the altitude sickness is gone. And we have earthquakes back home, too, you know. It's pretty much the one thing Southern California and Alaska have in common.
Yeah, but I should have given you more of an introduction to Katmyr Academy. I guess I thought ignorance would keep you safe.
I don't think a tour of the school would have stopped me from getting hurt in an earthquake, Uncle Finn.
That's not what I mean.
My radar, fuzzy as it goes off again. What do you mean, then?
He means that, like any school, it takes a little time to learn the ropes here.
The look Maris gives my uncle tells him now is not the time to discuss those ropes.
I'm sure Macy will help you out with a lot of it. Plus, you're a smart girl. I think you'll be fitting in here in no time.
I'm not so sure, but I'm not about to argue with her. Not when doing so will just keep her and my uncle here longer. I'm hoping covering the last of my medical stuff will move them along.
What about my other cuts?
My hand goes to my cheek in the bandage there.
Are they bad?
No, not at all. They'll be healed in no time. And none of them was deep enough to leave a scar.
Except on my neck.
Yes, you will have a small scar on your neck.
Better than the alternative, I guess. Thanks for taking care of me. I appreciate it.
Of course, Grace. You're a model patient.
We'll see if she still thinks so after I sneak out of my room tonight to go to Jackson's. I want to see him, want to make sure he wasn't hurt too. And I want to know how he feels about our kiss, if he's still thinking about it, or if he's decided I'm just too much trouble. I also want to know what happened between the glass breaking and me getting to the nurse's office, and he's the only one who can tell me. I hate that I can't remember anything. It makes me feel completely out of control, and I can't stand that feeling. It gets my anxiety up, so much so that I'm sure I'd be on the verge of a panic attack if it weren't for the sedative.
Is it okay that I'm still so sleepy?
I ask, not because I actually want to take a nap, but because I want everyone to stop hovering, especially my uncle.
Of course. It'll probably be tomorrow morning before all the sedation wears off.
She turns to my uncle.
Why don't we head out, Finn? Give Grace a chance to rest. I'll come back and check on her before bed, and in the meantime, I'm sure Macy will get us if there's any problem.
Of course I will.
Macy gives her father the most virtuous look I have ever seen on her face or any other. If I weren't so impressed, plus desperate for Uncle Finn to leave, I'd probably burst out laughing.
How about you?
My uncle strokes a hand over the top of my head.
You okay with us leaving so you can get some sleep?
Of course. It feels rude to sleep while you're here, but I'm just so tired, Uncle Finn. Turns out Macy isn't the only one who can lay it on thick.
Okay then, I'll head out. Macy, why don't you come with me? You can grab some food for you and Grace from the dining room before Maris leaves.
He looks at me.
You must be hungry.
I would love something to eat.
Nothing too heavy, some soup and maybe a pudding to start with. If that stays down, we can talk about something a little more substantial.
Of course.
Macy sends me a reassuring look, then loops an arm through her father's.
Come on, Daddy. Let's go get Grace that food before she falls asleep.
My uncle walks out right behind her, and I remind myself to do something really nice for Macy to pay her back for her help with them. Doing her laundry for a month, maybe, or cleaning the bathroom the next several times. After they leave, I'm a little nervous about being left alone with the nurse, but she seems content to let me doze, and I'm prepared to take full advantage of it. Now that the sedative has worn off some, I feel like I've been run over by a snowplow. Twice. I'm sure it's just because of all the blood loss, so I'm not worried, but it still feels gross. A few minutes go by in silence, but Maris must figure out I'm not actually napping.
Do you have any more questions about your condition, Grace?
No, I'm good. Actually, I was wondering how long before you take the stitches out.
Stitches?
She seems baffled at the question, which doesn't make any sense at all. For the arterial tear? You did stitch it up, right? Or is that just something they do on Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, right. Of course.
Now she just looks uncomfortable.
The stitches I used on the artery will melt away, so no worries there.
And the ones on the outside? That closed the wound?
They'll dissolve too.
Her answer strikes me as odd, but I'm not a nurse, so I'm willing to go with it, at least until she continues.
Keep that cut covered, by the way. Come to me tomorrow and I'll change the dressing for you, but don't uncover it on your own for at least a week.
A week? What about when I take a shower?
I'll give you some waterproof film you can put over the bandage. It will keep it dry, even when you're washing your hair.
Seems like a lot of work for a wound that is supposed to heal normally, but I'm not going to call her on it. At least not yet. Thanks. And this time when I close my eyes, I actually try to fall asleep. It doesn't work, though, because no matter how drowsy I am, something just doesn't feel right here, including the fact that a school nurse sewed up my artery and then seemed shocked at the mere mention of stitches. Where I come from, doing stitches is a doctor's job, pure and simple. Then again, this is Alaska, and we are 90 minutes from the closest hint of civilization. It probably stands to reason that the school nurse at Katmere can do a lot more than an average school nurse. Maybe she's a nurse practitioner, and that's why she can prescribe sedatives and fix arteries. Either way, I'm grateful when Macy finally gets back. I keep pretending to be asleep until Maris leaves, but as soon as the door closes behind her, I spring up in bed.
What aren't you telling me?
I thought you were asleep!
Macy nearly drops the tray she's carrying.
I wanted to make sure Maris left.
I throw back my covers and swing my legs off the side of the bed so that my feet are on the floor.
You need to lay back down.
I need to find out what really happened to me. I mean, what are the odds that the window would shatter like that during an earthquake and that the flying glass would actually nick my artery? It seems like a long shot. And then Maris told me not to look at the cut. What is that?
She probably just doesn't want you to freak out about it being ugly or something.
Macy sets the tray down on her desk, but she doesn't turn around to face me. Instead, she fusses with the dishes on the tray until I want to scream. After all, there's only so much prep a bowl of already heated soup needs. Which is why I push to my feet, ignoring how lightheaded I feel, and start to walk over to her. The room begins swaying before I'm halfway there, though, and I put a hand on the wall to steady myself. Just a small nick, my ass. I'm in seriously bad shape here. Macy turns around and shrieks when she sees how unsteady I am.
Get back in bed!
She grabs my arm and throws it over her shoulders.
Come on, I'll help you.
Tell me the truth. Did my artery really just get nicked, or is there something they're not telling me?
I refuse to let her move me until I get some of my questions answered.
Your artery was nicked. I saw the blood myself.
That's not what I asked.
Yeah, but that's all I know. I wasn't there when Jackson brought you to the nurse, you know. I was at dance practice.
Oh, right. Sorry. I just feel like something is off about this whole story.
I don't know, Grace. It makes sense to me. Although, I do feel like you have the worst luck ever. That tree branch breaking and now the window? It's weird.
It is weird. That's what I was thinking earlier. I mean, the odds are way skewed. I just don't know what to think about it.
Right now, you don't have to think about anything that doesn't involve crawling back into your bed and getting some sleep. Maris would kill me if she saw you up wandering around the room.
And what's up with that? I let Macy help me to my bed. She's like the scariest school nurse anywhere.
She's not so bad. She's just... serious.
I snagged the pencil bag off my desk on my way by. I've got a mirror inside, and I want to get a look at the damage. Yeah, that's one way to describe her.
What kind of soup do you want?
Macy asks as she settles me down into a bed whose sheets seem a lot smoother than what I climbed out of. Which makes no sense, considering Macy has been across the room the whole time. Hey, did you fix this?
What?
My bed. It was a mess when I got out of it.
Oh, yeah,
She moves her hand horizontally in a kind of smoothing motion. When? I must be more out of it than I think. I didn't even see her come over here.
I did it when you were leaning against the wall. You had your eyes closed for a minute, and I didn't want to disturb you while you were getting your bearings.
Again, that doesn't seem right. I was sure she came directly over to me once she realized I was standing. Then again, I'm the one who's totally drugged while she's the one who has all her faculties about her. Besides, what does it matter anyway? It's not like my bed made itself. Well, I appreciate it. I pull the covers back over me. So thanks.
No worries.
Still, she looks a little white as she reaches for the food tray.
I brought potato, chicken noodle, and corn chowder. I didn't know what kind of soup you like.
Honestly, I'm hungry enough that I'll eat anything. Pick what you want and give me whatever's left.
No, you're the sick one.
Exactly. I'm so drugged, it won't matter. Besides, tomato soup is pretty much the only kind I really don't like, so just give me something. In the end, she hands me the corn chowder and a bowl of canned fruit. Peaches this time. I end up scarfing down half the bowl in 3 minutes flat. Macy eats at a more sedate pace, taking a couple of bites.
Hey, why exactly were you in Jackson's room anyway? Last I heard, he was avoiding you.
The last thing I want to do is tell Macy about how I was crying. I don't want her to worry about me, and I definitely don't want her thinking that she hasn't been wonderful since I got here, because she has. We were talking, and he offered to show me the meteor shower.
The meteor shower? That's the best you've got?
It's the truth. It was gorgeous. I've never seen one so bright before. She still looks skeptical.
And how exactly were you watching this meteor shower from inside his bedroom?
We were on the parapet outside his bedroom. We'd just crawled back through the window when the earthquake hit.
The earthquake?
Yeah, the earthquake. You know, that whole ground-shaking thing that happened about 5:30 this afternoon? It must have been an aftershock from this morning.
Oh, I know about the earthquake. We all felt it.
So why are you acting like I'm losing it?
I'm not. I was just thinking. I mean, it's probably silly. But what exactly were you and Jackson doing when the earthquake hit?
I freeze at the question, my gaze fastening on the wall directly behind her ear. But it doesn't really matter where I look, because I can feel my cheeks heating up.
Oh my God. Were you? Were you hooking up with him?
What? No, of course not. Pretty sure my cheeks just went from pink to bright red.
We were...
What? Kissing. He was kissing me, okay?
That's it? Just kissing?
Of course that's it. I met the guy less than a week ago.
Yeah, but it seems like it would have to be more than that.
What does? I mean, I'm not even sure he likes me.
Oh, I'm...
Macy starts to say something, but then just shakes her head and stares down into her soup like it's suddenly the most interesting thing on the planet.
Seriously? You don't get to do that. I answered all your questions. You need to answer mine.
I know. It's just...
Of course.
It's probably my dad wanting to check up on you again. He's not very good at waiting on the sidelines, especially when someone he cares about is sick.
I put what's left of my soup on my nightstand and burrow down into my covers. Will it offend you if I pretend to be asleep? I'm really not up for talking to anyone else right now.
Of course not. Fake sleep away. I'll let him get a good look at you, and then I'll kick him out.
Best roomie ever. I close my eyes and roll onto my side, face toward the wall, while Macy goes to answer the door.
Is she okay?
She's fine. She just had some soup.
Is she awake?
Do you want to come in and see for yourself? Nurse Maris gave her a lot of medicine. She's still drugged to the gills.
No, that's all right.
Then Macy closes the door.
Coast clear.
Hey, I'm sorry if I made you feel like you had to lie to your dad. If you want to call him back...
It wasn't my dad.
Oh, who was it then? Cam?
No, it was Jackson.
I spring up in bed for the third time tonight. Jackson? He was here? Why didn't you let him in? I throw back the covers and climb out of bed, searching the room for my chucks, but they're nowhere to be found.
I did invite him in. He's the one who declined.
Because you told him I was sleeping. I give up on the shoe hunt and head for the door.
Where are you going?
Where do you think? I pull open the door. After Jackson. I charge out of our room, figuring I'll catch Jackson a few doors down. But the hallway is completely empty. Still, he couldn't have gone far, so I head toward the main staircase. Worst case scenario, I know where his room is, even if a cleaning crew is currently in there. I finally find him on the stairs, taking them three at a time. He's not alone, though. Liam and Raphael are with him, and all three of them seem like they're in a really big hurry. I should probably let them go, but he's the one who came to my room, not the other way around, which means he wanted to see me. It's that thought that galvanizes me as I move to the top landing.
Jackson!
He stops on a dime. All three of them do, and then they're all staring at me out of the same blank eyes. I have a second to try to absorb the direct impact of all that male beauty and intensity. It's a lot, before Jackson is bounding back up the stairs. Liam and Raphael watch for a second, their faces locked in that expressionless look I'm coming to hate. But then they both give me a little wave. Plus, Raphael adds a thumbs up before they turn away and bound down the stairs.
What are you doing out here?
Just that quickly, he's in front of me. Only his face isn't blank. It's livid with a mixture of self-loathing and regret. His eyes an incandescent black that has shivers sliding through me for all the wrong reasons. Macy said you were looking for me.
I wasn't looking for you. I came to make sure you were okay.
Oh, I do a little self-deprecating shrug. Well... As you can see, I'm fine.
Pretty sure that's a matter of opinion.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you look like you're going to fall down any second. I don't know what you were thinking to come running down the halls after you nearly bled to death. Go back to bed.
I don't want to go back to bed. I want to talk to you about what happened this afternoon. Blank doesn't describe what happens to his face. It goes beyond blank, beyond empty, until there's absolutely nothing there. No sign at all of the Jackson I watched the meteor shower with. Definitely no sign of the boy who kissed me until my knees buckled and my heart nearly exploded. He looks like a stranger, one who has every intention of ignoring me. But then he finally answers.
You got hurt. That's what happened.
That's not all that happened. I reach for his arm. I want to touch him, but he steps out of reach before my fingers can so much as brush against his shirt.
It's the only thing that happened that matters.
Ouch. My heart falls straight to my feet as I struggle with the fact that he's grouping our kiss in with all the things he thinks don't matter. For long seconds, I don't know what to say. But then I ask the one question that's been burning inside my brain since I woke up. Are you all right?
I'm not the one you need to worry about.
But I am worried about you. It's a lot to admit, especially when he's working so hard to shut down everything between us. But that doesn't make it any less true. You look...
What?
Not okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. It's obvious he doesn't want to talk to me right now, so I take a step back. I guess I'll...
I'm sorry.
For what? The apology astounds me.
I didn't protect you.
From an earthquake? His gaze swings back to mine, and for a second, just a second, I can see something in his eyes. Something powerful and terrible and all-consuming. But it's gone as quickly as it came, and then he's back showing nothing.
From a lot of things.
From what I understand, you saved my life.
That's the point. You don't understand much. Which is why you should go back to your room and forget all about what happened earlier.
Forget about the earthquake? Or forget about you kissing me? I don't know where I got the guts to bring it up. Except, truth is, it's not bravery so much as desperation. I have to know what Jackson's thinking and why he's thinking it.
Forget about it all.
You know that's not going to happen. I reach for him once more, and this time he doesn't jerk away. Instead, he just watches me as I rest my hand on his shoulder, hoping the contact will remind him of what it was like to touch me, hoping it will break through the barriers he's erected between us.
Yeah, well, it needs to happen. You have no idea what we just did.
We kissed, Jackson. That's all we did. It felt momentous, important. It still feels that way to me. But in the grand scheme of things, it really was just a kiss.
I keep telling you that it doesn't work like that here.
He shoves a frustrated hand through his hair.
Don't you get that? You've been a pawn since you got here. A chess piece to move around the board to get the desired result. But now we've upped the stakes. This isn't just a game anymore.
He might mean his words as warnings, but they feel like body blows. I was a game to you?
You're not listening.
His eyes glow incandescent with the effort of holding in emotions I can't even begin to decipher, no matter how much I wish I could.
From the moment I kissed you, from the moment you got hurt, everything changed. You were in danger before, but now... Now, I've all but put a bullseye in the middle of your back and dared someone to take a shot.
I don't understand. You didn't do anything.
I did everything.
He moves closer until his face is right up in mine.
Listen to me. You need to stay away from me. I need to stay away from you.
His words send a chill through me, make my mouth go dry and my palms sweat. And still, I can't just walk away. Not when he's standing right here.
Jackson, please. You're not making any sense.
Only because you refuse to understand.
He backs away.
I have to go.
The words hang in the air between us, dark and somber. But he doesn't go. He doesn't do anything but stand there, staring at me with tortured eyes. So I do something. I step forward until our bodies are just barely brushing against each other. It's not much. But it's enough to have heat pooling in my stomach and electricity crackling just below my skin. Jackson! My vocal cords have forgotten how to work. He doesn't move. He just stands there looking down at me, his gaze locked with mine, his body pressing forward into mine. Jackson! It's almost enough. I can see him waver, feel him lean more heavily against me. But then he snaps out of it.
Stay away from me, Grace.
He turns away, takes the steps three at a time, and doesn't stop until he's on the landing 10 feet below.
It's the only way you're getting out of this school alive.
Is that a threat?
I'm more shaken than I want to admit.
I don't make threats.
Then, he puts two hands on the iron banister and vaults straight over it. I rush to the edge of the staircase, half afraid I'll see his mangled body down below. But not only is he not lying broken on the ground 3 stories below, he's nowhere to be seen at all. He's vanished right into thin air.
Crave, Book 1, Part 1, by Tracy Wolfe, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2020 by Tracy Wolfe. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2023 Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Melody Muse. with performances by Wynn Delano as Jackson Vega, Yenny Ann as Macy, Anthony Palmini as Flint, Julian Irons as Leah, Gabriel Michael as Mackay, Eric Messner as Finn, and Melody Muse as Grace Foster. Also with Alejandro Ruiz, Aure Nash, Bradley Foster Smith, Chris Stinson, Colleen Delaney, David Quiqui, Donald Guzzi, Drew Copas, Karen Novak, Megan Hasty, Michael John Casey, Nora Ashradi, Rob Morera, Scott McCormick, Steve Wanall, Sora Sue, Tia Shearer, and Yasmin Toison. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Eric Messner. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Kobe Jameson. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you've enjoyed Crave Book 1 Part 1, you might also enjoy A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas or Frost and Nectar by C.N. Crawford. All these titles and many more are now available at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening to hear a sample clip from The Demon Queen Trials by C.N. Crawford.
Because you're the Lord of Chaos, you know that a mortal twin of a succubus could turn this city upside down.
And why do you want to stay here so desperately?
You summarized it yourself. My life is desperately sad. The yogurt pouches, the t-shirt cereal bowl, it fucking sucks, even for a mortal, and I can't go back.
Here's what you have to understand. There is, in fact, one circumstance in which demons are allowed to kill mortals. In which we can drain your blood with impunity or throw you into a fire pit. And that is if you enter the City of Thorns without permission or under false pretenses. If the king or his soldiers determine that you're actually mortal, then you will die, and probably in an excruciating way. So, are you actually sure about this?
Not at all. Yes. He arched an eyebrow.
And once I fill you in on the secrets of the City of Thorns, once I tell you what I want, there will be no going back. I'm not letting you leave this city freely with my secrets to wander around telling people what you heard. I'd have to kill you first.
I bit my lip. Are you saying I can never leave?
You can't leave until you've helped me achieve my mission.
Which is? He shook his head slowly.
I can't tell you that, can I? You're either in or out. And you need to make your choice now. If I take you up to my apartment to divulge my plans, you will have crossed a threshold that you cannot return from until the mission is complete.
Fear skittered up the back of my neck, but I already knew it was too late, that there was no going back. Because I was so close to having answers now, I needed to know what happened to Mom, and I wasn't going to get another chance after this. Now or never. And the truth was, it wasn't just that I wanted vengeance. I also wanted to get rid of the cloud of suspicion that hung over me at all times, that maybe I'd been involved. With a tight chest, I nodded.
I'm willing to take risks. But since what I'll be doing for you is dangerous, I'm going to need you to pay off my undergrad student loans. And I'd like to transfer to Belial University.
I can easily pay your loans. I can buy you a mortal degree if you want. But you cannot be at the university, because Mortana would not be at the university.
My eyebrows shot up. You can't just buy a degree. He looked at me like I was mad.
Of course you can. You can buy anything.
I nodded, realizing he was probably right. My stomach twisted in knots as I realized I was about to undertake something extremely dangerous. Okay? Whatever the dangers are, I'm in. Let's do this. And now I'm going to need you to show me where the bathroom is before your opinion of my dignity falls even further.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.